Please turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Paul's letter to the Colossian church, where we've been for the last few months. And where, if you recall, last week, we were finishing the first chapter. And as we were doing so, Paul was sharing his heart for them as a servant and a minister of Christ. If you remember, his number one goal was, according to chapter 1, verse 28, to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. A high and lofty goal, and really ought to be our aim and our desire for the people that God has placed in our lives, for our families, our spouses, our church, our children, our parents, our co-workers, to have the same desire and goal. Well, as we begin chapter 2 this morning, Paul continues to share his heart and to show them that he wants nothing less than their best in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And again, this goes along with that aim and that theme to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And so we read these first three verses of chapter 2. Paul again, reassuring them of his heart for them. For I desire that you knew what great conflict, concern I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, unto the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything that Paul went through in his ministry as an apostle, and we've been through 2 Corinthians a few months ago, and we know that Paul went through a lot in his ministry as an apostle, but it was so that Christians, both then and now, both there and here, might know more about Christ, and then grow more in Christ. Because, as he wrote there in verse 3 of this same chapter, in him, in Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And those two qualities, wisdom and knowledge, were very important to those Colossian Christians back then, because, as we're going to see later on in this chapter, there were false teachers who were trying to infiltrate that church and lead them to other sources of wisdom and knowledge. And it's not unlike the experience that we have today as Christians. There are others who are trying to focus on other sources of true knowledge and true wisdom apart from Christ and leading the church astray. And so Paul wrote these words to remind them and to remind us that Christ is enough. Christ is enough. That's a theme that we can find all throughout the New Testament. Christ is enough, and that in Him we will find our greatest contentment. That's the first point. Our greatest contentment. Again, Paul tells us about Christ in verse 3, in whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, we're going to look at these verses a little bit differently this morning. We're actually going to start where he ends and go backwards through these verses so that we can have a better understanding of Paul's heart for God's people and that this is his number one aim, that we would truly know that in Christ are hid all the treasures that we need, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so in verse 3, Paul describes Jesus Christ not just as a treasure, which he does in other places, but as a treasury. There's a difference, isn't there? A treasure is something of value, but the treasury is a place where you put something of value. And so Christ here is presented to us as a treasury in which all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge reside. It's a bit like the United States Treasury, which of course is not only a department in our government, but it is also a place. Actually, there are several places that belong to the U.S. Treasury, where all of the wealth of our government resides. It's a repository for what is valuable to our country. Now, some of our country's wealth is in gold. And you've probably heard the famous place where our gold is at Fort Knox, and there are places where gold exists that belong to our nation. But much of our wealth is in the form of cash and currency or bonds and notes. I had a chance to go when I was on my trip in September to Washington, D.C., to the Bureau of Engraving there at Washington. And that is part of the United States Treasury. It is a building, a literal building, not too far off the National Mall, and it was a place I had never been, and I had a little bit of extra time, and I wanted to go see them print some of our money, some of our currency. So I went in there. And as I went in there, of course, they had to make you go through a metal detector, and you really couldn't take pictures of how they are printing these bills that we have in our pocket. And I was able to see the printing of stacks of $20 bills. There were other places in other parts of the country where they print hundreds and fifties, and they primarily did the ones and the tens and the twenties. But there were stacks of twenties, literally pallets this high of sheets of $20 bills. Each one of those stacks, each one of those pallets itself was a small treasure, but the treasury held them all. What we find here is Paul describing this about Christ. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that we could ever fathom as people and as Christians. And it says here that He has them hid in Himself. Now, a lot of times when you hide something from someone, you're trying to keep things from someone. But that's not what that word primarily means here. He is not hiding to keep things from you, but rather He is hiding in the sense of keeping things for you in order to keep things secure. When I went into the Bureau of Engraving in the U.S. Treasury Department, they did not hide the money from me. I was able to go in. In fact, there were all sorts of people from all different countries and different languages. And we all were able to go in and see how they made this money. It wasn't so much about keeping people out of that treasury. It was about keeping things safe in that treasury. And that's why you had to be very careful about the pictures that you took. And that's why they would make you go through that metal detector. They didn't want anything to go out. So again, we find that Christ is the one in whom we find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And now you as a Christian can find your greatest contentment in Christ. See, there's a lot of people that would think, if I just had one of those pallets stacked high of $20 bills, I would be content and happy with my life. I forget exactly how much it was, but it was in the millions of dollars. A lot of money. Truth is, money can come and money can go, and so will your contentment. But when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as your greatest treasure, but also as the greatest treasury in which all of Christians' wealth reside, you will be forever content in Him. You see, there's a lot of distraction in this world with all of its own treasures, but the greatest treasures can only be found in the treasury of Christ. Just like the treasure of true knowledge here in this verse. You know, there's a lot of smart people in this world in many important and useful fields of science. We were discussing some of that in Sunday school this morning. But without the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, all of that other knowledge is rather useless. Because if there is no God, if there's no eternity, if there's no future, it's all about the here and now, and it's really not going to last. Proverbs 1:7 even tells us that the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of knowledge. So the greatest scientists are not those who have the greatest minds about the scientific fields in this world, but the greatest scientific minds are those who begin that knowledge with the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, in years gone by, theology, which, as we described this morning, is the study of God, and of course the textbook is the Scriptures. It was considered to be the queen of the sciences. In fact, Isaac Newton, who was the one that we often say discovered gravity, even though it's always been around, he wrote more about theology than he did about other sciences. And those works have come to light, and people have explored much of what he has taught about those things. The queen of the sciences. But the best way to know the truth about the creation is to know the truth about the Creator. And if you know something about God, and if you know something about Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you know more than the greatest scientific minds out there who deny that there's even a Creator in this world. And then the greatest treasures of that knowledge you can find in Jesus Christ. But he also describes here the treasure of true wisdom. Wisdom is often described as the skillful application and use of that knowledge. And again, there may be a lot of smart people in this world. Perhaps you're familiar with the current champion of the game show Jeopardy. His name is James Holzhauser. At latest count, he has won 21 times. And that, of course, is covering several weeks. He has earned over $1.6 million. That man knows a lot and is apparently pretty fast on the trigger. But what about wisdom? People can answer trivia questions. In fact, I don't even know if you may still have the game. Trivial Pursuit. A lot of people just pursue trivia. Things that really don't matter a whole lot in this world or in light of eternity. But what about wisdom? Do you possess wisdom? The right and skillful use of the knowledge that you have. If you've been a Christian any length of time, you have a lot of knowledge about God and a lot of knowledge about Christ, a lot of knowledge about His Word, but are you using it? That's wisdom. Are you applying it? That's wisdom. Are you sharing it with others? That's wisdom. Most people have a desire for some wisdom or knowledge in some form, but apart from Jesus Christ, all the wisdom and all the knowledge of this world is but superficial. Now, we think that someone that may have great intelligence about the mysteries of this universe, they have a great knowledge, but in light of the infinite knowledge and wisdom of Christ, it's really just superficial. If you think about this earth in which we live and the globe, you know that the smallest part of this entire world is the crust. It's very thin compared to the rest of it. And that is the picture of the wisdom of this world and the knowledge of this world apart from Christ. It's very superficial. It's just a crust surrounding the earth. But in Him, Paul says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus Christ is like a field of treasure for those who believe in Him. Perhaps you've heard of places where you can go and hunt for gemstones. There are places that are parks, national parks or state parks, and you can pay a little entry fee. And I think some people in our church have done this. And you can go look for diamonds and other minerals and other jewels. And, of course, they don't want you digging too far deep, but sometimes you can just find something on the surface. And the beauty of having Christ in your life is there's a lot of treasure that's there on the surface, but there's even more as you dig deeper. There's even more as you go closer to Christ. There's even more as you look into the fathomless riches of His Word. John Eadie writes this, that the highest forms of wisdom and knowledge are to be found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to know something? Know Christ. You want to have wisdom beyond the wisdom of this world? Know Christ. Even if you have all the wisdom and knowledge that this world has to offer, you will never be content. Because everything apart from Christ will fall short of heaven itself. So remember this morning that your greatest contentment will only be found in the wisdom and knowledge of Christ. Never stop sitting at the feet of Jesus to learn from Him and to learn of Him. Because then He is the one who will provide you, number two, our greatest confidence. Our greatest confidence. You see, the only way that you will have contentment from the wisdom and knowledge of Christ is when you have confidence in Christ Himself. And that too is why Paul is writing this letter. It was so that, in the latter part of verse 2, that we as believers, we Christians, might be knit together, we'll go over just a few words, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, even the Father, and of Christ. See, this is one of the reasons that God has knit us together as a church, as a body of believers. It's so that we would not just grow together in love, which is also there in verse 2, but also in the truth about Christ. It's love and truth. Because the more you know and understand Him about Christ, the more confidence you will have in your faith. It's much like the relationship that you have as a family. My wife and I celebrated our anniversary yesterday. For 23 years, we've gotten to know each other. And even though I loved her when I was married on that day, 23 years ago, and I trusted her with my life and my future, yet with every passing year and every passing day and even every passing moment, I've grown in my confidence in her. Because the more I've known her, the more I've gotten to know her, the more I know her character. And I know she loves me. Yes, even me. And I can have that confidence. And the same relationship that we have with Christ, the more you know Christ, the more you will have confidence in Christ. The greater your faith will increase. And that's one of the reasons why God has knit us together. So that we will grow in that faith together. So Paul's desire and our desire is for you to grow in this apprehension, this understanding of the gospel. You know, when you first hear the gospel, the message itself is rather simple, isn't it? It's rather simple. Paul summarizes it in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and rose again the third day, all according to the Scriptures, and then He was seen. And that is what saves us when we believe and put our faith in that message. It's simple. It's so simple that a child can respond to that message and believe. And yet many reject it because it seems to them so simple. But I want you to know today that there is more to the gospel than meets the eye. Yes, there is that gold nugget that's sitting right there on the top of the field of the treasury of Christ. And as you pick it up by faith and you have salvation that is eternal, you have eternal life and a glorious home in heaven. But as you dig a little deeper in the field of Christ, you're going to find more gemstones, more gold, more silver, more precious stones, more value, because the gospel, even though it's simple for us to understand and believe, yet there's a vast amount of treasure that we can dig up. It is the mystery of God, it says here in verse 2. It is something that has been partially concealed throughout the Old Testament and has been more fully revealed in the New, but there is still so much to learn about this mystery. And the more you know about Christ, the more you know about His gospel, the more you can grow as a Christian. And sometimes people will wonder, well, what more is there? But you need to dig a little deeper. You need to spend time with God through His Word. You need to get with brothers and sisters in Christ who love God and love you so that you can open up those treasuries together and see all the beauty of the mystery of Christ and His glory. The more you know, the more you can grow in the assurance of the gospel. It also says in verse 2 that it was for this full assurance of understanding. This is what Paul wanted in the hearts and lives of those Colossian Christians. Assurance. Do you have assurance of the gospel in your life? Do you know without any doubt in your mind that you are going to heaven when you die someday? Assurance. As it says in verse 27, that Christ is in you, the very hope of glory. Do you have Jesus? Are you sure of this? God does not want you, if you are His child, to doubt your salvation. He wants you to come to that full assurance of understanding of the gospel. He wants you to have the peace and contentment that comes from assurance and confidence. And that's even why, as the men were going through the letter of 1 John, John wrote this toward the end of his letter, 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Do you have that kind of assurance today? This is one of those great gems that we can find in the treasury of Christ. Assurance. Confidence in the mystery of Christ. And the greater your apprehension and knowledge of the gospel and all that God has done in Christ and through Christ for you, the greater your assurance will be. The reason why there are a lot of people, a lot of Christians who doubt their salvation is because they're not spending time with their Savior. They're not spending time with Christ. There are questions. Because they're not getting the answers from His Word. But the greater you know the gospel, the greater you plumb its depths, the greater your assurance will be. And that will then further lead to the appreciation of the gospel. As it says again in verse 2, "Unto all riches," we are knit together, "unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. The kind of assurance that is offered to you in the gospel is wealth indeed. In fact, it's all riches, Paul writes here. You may have nothing that this world considers to be valuable, but Jesus Christ is the only true and lasting and most valuable treasure in this world. And if you have assurance and confidence in Christ, you are the wealthiest person in this world. As the old spiritual goes, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. Why? Because when you have Christ, you have all you need. You are the wealthiest person in all of this world. And this is the great confidence a person can have. And the more you know about Christ, the greater your confidence can be in Christ. And that confidence is of more value than any other treasure. But even that confidence will lead somewhere. That confidence that comes from contentment will then lead to our greatest comfort. A comfort that can only come through Christ. We see this at the very beginning of verse 2, where Paul is telling them why he is writing, why he even cares so much about them. It's so that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. This is why Paul wrote these words. Because this was and still is the very desire of the gospel. To provide comfort and encouragement to those who are suffering and struggling in this life. And doesn't that describe all of our situations? Isn't this why Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest for your souls. That's comforting. That's comforting. I don't know about you, but when I came to faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior, it was a comfort to me. I knew I had Christ. And through Christ, I had His promises. And I had access to heaven itself. And as a child, that was thrilling to my soul. It was comforting. It was encouraging. It was edifying. This is still the desire of the gospel. And this is a comfort that can go deep, even into our very hearts. Paul said, "I'm writing and I care about you so that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love." And that heart is the very deepest part of our being. William Hendrickson defines our heart as the fulcrum of feeling and faith, as well as the mainspring of words and actions. The heart that you possess is not the beating heart, but rather it is the innermost self, where you suffer and struggle the most, where you question and you doubt and you worry and all of these things that affect you in life. And again, Paul says, "I care that you find your greatest treasure and contentment and confidence and comfort in Christ, because it will meet the innermost needs of your life, your heart." So not only does Christ offer the greatest contentment and the greatest confidence, He also offers the greatest comfort to those in need, but we also see the design of the gospel. The design of the gospel, the comfort that God offers, is one that will bind and knit together God's people in love. You see, when God's people come together and remember who they were apart from Christ, as well as who they are because of Christ, love is what will bind us together. It's a love from God, a love for God, and then a love for each other. There in the region of Colossae and Laodicea, they were known for their wool and for their woven fabric and tapestries. In fact, in Colossae itself, they were known for their black wool. I don't think it started out black. It was white wool, and then they dyed it with a special dye to make it black and glossy black. And it was something that was treasured. That was when they were sort of in the higher point of their existence. But they were known for their tapestries. But to make a tapestry, different strands would be woven together. And those strands may have been of different colors and textures and different wools from different farms and animals. But they all became one out of many. And that is what Christ came to do. This is another one of those great treasures that we have in the treasury of Christ. A tapestry of beauty and a tapestry of love. This is part of that mystery of the gospel that Paul has been describing, so that we might become like Joseph's woven coat of many colors given to him by his father out of love. Coat of many colors. When you have Christ, you become part of a church of many colors. A church of many colors that is woven together out of different strands from every nation and kindred and tongue and people, yet all believers in Jesus Christ. Love is not only what joins and weaves us together, but love is the very tapestry itself that is so beautiful when implemented correctly that all the world can see. This is one of those great treasures that we have in Christ, the church. And that is the great comfort that you can experience for yourself, a comfort of great love that will flow from your confidence and contentment in Christ. And this was Paul's greatest concern for them. And that leads us to the very first verse of this chapter. Because his greatest concern should also be our greatest concern. He begins the chapter by saying, "For I would, I want, I desire that you knew what great conflict I have for you." This describes the great concern that Paul had for those Colossian Christians. One writer actually defines that word as distressed. He had a great concern for them. The great conflict he had for them was not just something external, but internal. Not just something physical, but spiritual. In fact, later on in this letter, Paul uses the same word translated conflict here to describe how their own pastor Epaphras was always laboring fervently in prayer. And that, I'm sure, is what Paul did for these people. This is that great conflict that he had for them. So as much as Paul labored in his service for the Lord, which we saw at the end of chapter 1, that's how much he longed for their growth in Christ here in chapter 2. And likely how earnestly he prayed for them, especially since he was so far removed from them at that time. Have you ever felt like you were too far away from someone to help them? Maybe you got a distress call from someone that you love, maybe a family member or a friend that you knew from college or from high school, and you were greatly concerned for them. In the words of verse 1, you were greatly conflicted for them, and you wondered what you could do for them. How about pray for them? Earnestly. Remember, Paul is writing this letter as a prisoner in Rome. There wasn't a whole lot else he could do but pray and discuss the matter with others. He could express that great concern for them to the Lord and to others, and that is why he wrote this letter. But as he continues there in verse 1, it was this great conflict that he had for them, the Colossians, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul wrote because he knew that they in Colossae needed encouragement. If you remember from our initial message in this book, this letter, the Colossian church was a relatively small and isolated church in the town of Colossae, which was becoming more and more obscure. And with a threat of false teachers at their threshold, their church was in great danger. And so Paul tells them about his great concern to encourage them. And perhaps that's something that we need to do. We need to think about people in our own family, in our own church, or even outside of this church to let them know that they have not been forgotten. Not by Paul, not by us, and certainly not by the Lord. We also see that he wrote because they needed edification. He mentions here the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church was about 9 miles down the Lycus Valley. It's not very far at all. But the fortunes of their city was much greater than Colossae. They had a lot more money. They had a lot more prestige. They were larger, richer, and more prominent than Colossae. But the church there was in need too. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? Sometimes we have tunnel vision on the problems of our own Christian lives and our own church that we fail to remember that there are other churches. And they may be larger. They may be more prosperous. They may have bigger buildings. They may have all sorts of programs and plans. But they have similar problems to our own. And that's why we ought to have the same concern for them as we do for us. Paul did. They needed to be built up. The church there was facing the same dangerous doctrines as the Colossians were, and so Paul tells them about his great concern for them too, to build them up in Christ. He also wrote because they all needed enlightenment. He further mentions his great concern in this verse, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. That would have included the Colossians, likely, and the Laodiceans. But it shows that Paul's concern was much greater and wider, to include all the spiritual needs of all Christians and all churches at all times, even if he never personally saw them or ministered to them. That is, again, an example of how we as Christians ought to feel about our brothers and sisters that we will never see. But yet we still have the same concern, because many of their problems are the same problems that we face. So in a way, Paul is telling us about his great concern for us too. Even though we live in a different place, in a different time, we still face the same threats and dangers. But this all leads us back to where we started, in verse 3. Because it is in whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That was Paul's greatest concern for them and for us, because that would be the answer to their questions. That would be the solution to their problems. That would be the truth that would confront their error. Because only in the treasury of Christ will you find the true enlightenment and edification and encouragement that you need, just as the churches in Colossae and Laodicea needed. Are you in a place in your life this morning where you need encouragement or you need edification? We would think that that would be a very valuable thing. The truth is, you can find that treasure in the treasury of Christ. You can find your encouragement and your edification and all you need in Jesus. So go there first. It's always helpful to have other people give you encouraging words or to read uplifting books. But you know, when you look to Christ, you will find in His gospel, the mystery of His gospel that He presented to you many years ago, the greatest encouragement and edification that you would need. Go to Him. Only in the treasury of Christ will you find the greatest comfort that comes through the love of God and His people. Maybe that's what's missing in your life today, comfort. Maybe there's a struggle in your life. Maybe you feel like you are a wave that is tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men, by questions that are always coming up in your mind, and you feel very unstable and you need strengthening. You need this comfort that comes from Christ. Go to Him. Go to Him first. Because again, that is one of those great treasures that you will find in His treasury alone. Only in the treasury of Christ will you also find the greatest confidence and full assurance that can come through a thorough knowledge of the mystery of the gospel. Maybe you are doubting your own salvation. Maybe you're wondering if you have eternal life. Maybe you're wondering if you even are part of the family of God. Go to Christ. Because the more you know about Him, the more you will understand what He did for you. And the more you know, the more you can be assured if you have Him as your Savior. And only in the treasury of Christ will you find the greatest contentment in His wisdom and in His knowledge. What are you living for today? What makes you happy? What gives you joy? What gives you contentment? Is it the stack, the pallet full of $20 bills that you can get? Well, you can't get in the treasury of the United States. In fact, just try to go get one sheet off of that stack and take it out with you. See what happens. You won't be content for very long unless you pay the money and get one so you can frame it. They do have those. But you know, the treasury of Christ, He offers you this contentment and this joy and this peace freely and fully. You just go to Him. And you go through His Word and you find out more about this wonderful Savior who's Jesus our Lord. And as you dig deeper, the greater your contentment will be, only in the treasury of Christ. The treasury of Christ is where you will find all you need. So keep Him first in your life. Make sure, as The basic theme of Colossians teaches us, make sure He has the preeminence in your life. Because only in Him will you find the greatest treasures that will truly satisfy your soul. Remember Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest, a rest for your soul. Is your soul restless today? Are you lacking this contentment or confidence or comfort or even concern about your soul and the souls of others? Then go to the treasury of Christ. Go to Christ as your greatest treasure. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You that we have in Christ all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and truly all of the other jewels, all of the other precious truths that we find in this verse and all throughout Scripture. And now, Lord, I pray that You'll help us to assess our own hearts and lives, that we might see and sense whether we are truly content or truly assured of our position with You, or whether we truly have that comfort from You. And if we don't, Lord, I pray that You'll help us to see that it's perhaps because we have something or someone else as the greatest treasure in our life. And we are looking for those treasures in other treasuries. We're looking for it in the treasury of our relationships. We think that that's where the gold is. We're looking for it in the treasury of our wealth or lack thereof. And we think, well, if I just have a little bit more, then I'll be satisfied. Or we think we're going to find all that we need in the treasury of this world. And yet we know that it's the treasury of Christ that will give us all of the contentment and the confidence and the comfort that we need. And so, Father, I pray that You'll help us to remember Him and run to Him and trust in Him. Help us, Lord, to remember that in Christ are hid, not to keep from us, but rather to keep for us all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that will provide ultimate contentment for our souls. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.